With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore. Happy to be joined now by the North Reading girls lacrosse coach, Matt Costello. And, Coach, welcome to MSO. Nice win for you guys today.
Yeah, thanks for talking with me, Rick. I really appreciate it.
Well, you know, you went into the tournament a tough seed. I mean, D3 in lacrosse is just loaded. And a lot of good Cape Ann League teams there. And tell me a little bit about going into this game for you guys.
Yeah, you know, I think we're in a really difficult and competitive Cape Ann League, and there's a lot of good coaches and a lot of good players, a lot of good teams. But I do think playing that really strong strength of schedule, along with other really respectable non-league opponents as well, it kind of, you know, helps you get to this moment, and you kind of hope that all the learning opportunities that you had in success as well really matures your team, and maybe the difficult learning opportunities kind of calluses your team as well, just to be ready for anything that happens during a playoff game.
Well, I want to get into that and learn about your team and about today's game also, but just looking at D3 and the Cal. Newburyport is up there. Pawtucket is up there. Swampscott and the NEC and Essex Tech. And then you guys, there's like five or six teams from the North Shore in the top 20. So, as you say, a very competitive schedule. And before we, look at the schedule, tell me a little bit about your team. What were you expecting from these kids coming into the season?
Yeah, I think coming into the season, it's a senior heavy group. You know, with a lot of leaders, I think we have a really good problem with leadership. Every kid is a little unique and a little different and has, you know, their own personalities. But we knew that we were going to be in really good hands with an experienced group. And then, you know, our junior class is a little bit smaller. Same thing with sophomores. And we actually have a big freshman class. So it's kind of a mixed bag in terms of experience and then still newer, inexperienced players. So I think throughout the year there's been some ups and downs and some bumps and bruises, but you know, I think the senior group really has rose to the occasion the last couple of weeks, and I think they've really started to turn it on. Ever since our Tewksbury game, I should say, we started to see the potential, and okay, this is the North Reading team that we knew. You know, we were capable of playing, the level of style of play and the level of play. So I give a lot of credit to the seniors, and I also give a lot of credit to the underclassmen who have really been working so hard to just try and learn and be coachable and also lead themselves.
All right, so tell me about your captains, because I see a lot of names in bold caps here.
Yeah, so we do have a lot of captains, which, again, is a good problem to have. Brianne Slattery, Mia Pittori, Jenna DiNapoli, Allie Lab, Riley Garrity, Faith Newton, and then our other two seniors, Shay Tully and Colleen Gwads. Again, they're an experienced group. I think they are all leaders, even if some don't have the title. And I think there's not a lot of egos there. You know, I think they love each other. I think they're all friendly with each other. I think they do a good job of holding the kids accountable, not being afraid to have sometimes difficult and uncomfortable conversations, but they do it in a respectful and loving way. And that's what leaders do. You know, they lead when things are going well, and they lead when things aren't going well too. And I give a lot of credit to all the seniors, you know, Shay, Faith, Riley, Allie, Colleen, Jenna, Mia, and Bree, just for being so coachable and just being very mature, independent, and responsible leaders that we can always count on.
Coach, tell me about your league schedule, because the Cal is so tough this year, and you were competitive, but some of those games were very difficult. What is maybe a challenge game in the Cal itself that your team learned a lot from and were able to feel good about themselves?
Yeah, you know, it's all the coaches are awesome. You know, we just had our league meeting the other day, and every single coach in the Cal is a really good coach. And again, coach is a really competitive and really good team. I thought in the very beginning of the year, you know, we weren't playing as competitively as I thought we could. However, I think there was flashes of potential in the Hamilton-Wenham game. We didn't win that game, but we played some really high level of lacrosse. And
mm-hmm.
I would say even against Pentucket the second time around, you know, Pentucket is an unbelievable team, but there were stretches and pockets of lacrosse where we saw them compete and play them and play against a really talented and formidable opponent. So I think in the latter half of our schedule, and even Ipswich, I'll say that as well. Ipswich, I thought the first half of Ipswich, you know, we play some really high level competitive lacrosse against a really respectable and talented Ipswich team. So I think in May, even though all of those games were losses, there was the potential and the mm-hmm. growth, and we are playing really well. So that's, I think those are three games that kind of stick out in my mind.
And you have two of the, Ipswich and Newburyport both are, you know, they're the number one seed in Division 4 and Division 3 respectively. So it's an incredibly competitive conference. But I got to ask you about your last two games in the regular season, because you played like three games in 4 days there. And you had a really good win over Marblehead, a nice win over Wilmington. So that had to give the kids some confidence going into today's game.
Yeah, Marblehead was definitely the kind of the apex of our regular season schedule. You know, everything just kind of went our way. Marblehead is a really well coached and talented team, but they played, and this is something I'll speak on later, just team oriented, team style lacrosse. You know, and we don't have one kid on our team who could take over a game and who could be a threat, you know, regardless of who we're playing. That's just not us. But we do have a lot of kids in roles. And those kids, I think, in the Marblehead game, like, really bought into their role, did their role to the best of their ability, and just played like a team, you know, and that's offensively, defensively, on the draw, goaltending, you know, everyone just kind of played their role that we asked them to do. And I think when we play like a team, that's when we're at our best.
The younger kids, Coach, you mentioned, you know, all the captains who have experience. How have the younger kids progressed? Because, you know, you want to have a success with them, and you guys have come on strong pretty good here and a great win in the tournament. But progressing to next year, how have the younger kids performed, and have you been able to get, you know, the newcomers into games?
Yeah, you know, I think, I'll start off in the junior class. Caitlin Supple really has turned it on this year, and it's been an incredible leader for us. She's our goalie. She's really stepped it up leadership-wise. Callie McClellan and Lindsay Rosenthal are two sophomores who have really, offensively and defensively, you know, they're kind of at the banquet. We gave them, you know, a Co Hard Hat Award. They're kind of like the blue collar, you know, kids on our team who do all the nitty gritty fighting for ground balls, running up and down in transition. And they're great lacrosse players. They have really good lacrosse IQ. And I think Mackenzie Murphy has been another freshman who has really stepped it up. We knew coming in she was going to be a varsity level player. And she, I think at times has really shown her potential, and she's been super coachable, even though we're hard on her at times. Alexa Pepper is another blue collar kid, who's super coachable, just does everything she's asked to do and more. And then Grace Terranova, she's a junior who doesn't play a lot, but she always supports her teammates on the sideline. She always gives great energy, and that's a leader, you know. It's not always impacting the game when you're on the field, but off the field as well.
Well, it sounds like a great blend, and today's win is cool. Now, a couple of things before we get to the next game. Having eyes in the building where you are, you know, an educator in the building, that has to be so important over the years in terms of having a contact with the kids, you know, outside of being on the field. You get to see them in the classroom. They get to see you if there's a something they want to talk to you about or you want to talk to them about. It's just so important to have someone in the building.
Yeah, absolutely. And all of our assistant coaches are in the building too, you know. So if I am not that person that they want to approach, they have three other coaches that they can go to, you know, that who we equally trust to help them, support them, or just like develop those relationships with. So, yeah, you know, it is nice seeing them in the hallways and saying hi, and maybe sometimes it's using, you know, power block time for a quick little, you know, either film or, whether it's a positive conversation, maybe it's a tough love conversation, but I think, you know, it is awesome just developing those relationships with the kids, you know, and we're not their friend and they know that, but like where we try and be really positive role models for the kids.
You know,
they're not always going to like us all the time.
Matt, I got to tell you, I taught for so many years and that was one of my mantras. I'm not your friend, but I support you. I'm a teacher. And then when these kids graduate and they become adults, you're lucky because they do become friends. So it's a great experience, but there is that transition that has to take place. And I really appreciate your mentioning that. Now, one thing I'm not crazy about is when teams from the same conference have to meet early on. Now, next game, Monday, I mean, you're facing the Iron.
Right.
Tell me about that one.
Yeah. You know, we did, that is something we talk to the kids about. And I know when the bracket is released and you see your matchup, you want to be present, you want to be focused, and you want to, yes, whatever team we're facing in whatever round, whether it's the preliminary round or the round of 32, that's your all-out focus. However, we did want to address an elephant in the room where just because we're facing Newburyport in the second round, it's not a, oh, well, this game doesn't matter, or if we do win today, then, you know, it's whatever, we're playing Newburyport, and kind of like that Eeyore kind of to it, or like negative attitude towards it.
Yep.
We really wanted to nip that in the bud, and we explained to the kids that sometimes it's better the devil you know than the devil you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We've faced Newburyport twice. We have so much respect for them and what they do, and they're so well coached, but we also know that, like, okay, you know, we faced them the first time and our game plan didn't really work. We faced them the second time and our game plan didn't really work. But the third time, we're going to come up with a different game plan. And if the kid can trust us and if they give it their very all, that's all we can ever really ask for, you know. But I will say, I would kind of rather face a Newburyport and have all this film that we have on them instead of maybe a team where I'm scrambling and I don't know a whole lot about them. So.
And the old cliche, to beat the best, to be the best, you got to beat the best. I can appreciate that. And Coach, finally, let me ask you about what is the strength of your team overall? You know, because you have a good mix of seniors, juniors, and younger classmen, and you've really compiled a very good record overall with the strength of schedule. So tell me about the strength of the team, what we would look for against Newburyport.
Yeah, you know, I think the strength of our team, and it sounds corny, but I don't think it's going to be things that show up in the, you know, stat sheet, and I don't think it's going to be things that you're going to be able to see on the field as a fan, but I do believe that this team, it's the relationships that they have with each other. You know, I think that is our strength right now. And that's something that we've, you know, coming in 5 years ago, that was really our focus as like a program culture, was to be relationships first. And then hopefully the lacrosse stuff comes a little bit easier second. But you know, the kids have kind of bought into, a mantra, if you will, and it's called Ubuntu. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
Oh, yeah.
And that's Ubuntu. And we showed them a video in the very beginning of the year of Doc Rivers talking about the 2008 Celtics. And on their championship run, that was you know, their rallying cry. That was their mantra for the year. And, you know, not to go down a rabbit hole, but it kind of has origins, you know, of Archbishop Tutu and Nelson Mandela and, you know, the political, you know, changes that were happening in South Africa. And that was kind of their, you know, rallying cry in Africa was Ubuntu, and it means, you know, I am because we are. A person is a person through other persons. So there's a lot of layers to that, but basically the Celtics use that as, you know, like, oh, like the team is greater than any individual, you know, that a solitary human being is a contradiction in terms, and you can't do it all by yourself or be threatened by someone else because they're better than you. So the kids were obsessed with that.
All right.
They've been talking about that all year long, and it helps when another sports team has used that as well and found success. But I think the strength, long-winded answer, but I think the strength of our team is just really the relationships that they have with each other.
Well, it's
on the field today, you saw that in Ubuntu, and you saw that we over me, and you saw that team first.
Well, Coach, all of that is so cool because as an educator, sometimes you don't get people don't see what you do in terms of the overall bringing up of a kid or nurturing a kid, and people forget that sports is an extension of teaching at a high school. So I think that's a terrific lesson, and I didn't realize the Celtics did do that. But I forgot one major question to ask you, and that's about today's game. Tell me a little bit about how it went and who your stars were.
Yeah, today's game, again, it was such a team-oriented victory, you know, relationship-first victory, Ubuntu-type of victory. I really thought the stars of the show, though, although some people obviously have better performances than others, I thought Shay Tully had such a legacy game today. She had four goals, which is a career high, even had one draw control. She's one of our attackers, a ground ball, and she had an awesome turnover in the ride. And Brianne Slattery, another senior, had one goal, four assists. And I think if you've watched girls lacrosse, you know on the draw circle, sometimes the person, the center who is taking the draw control specialist, you know, they could place it to a teammate on the circle but not get credited for it. So Bree had two draw controls herself, but then she placed the draw to Faith Newton on the circle, and Faith had 10 draw controls, which is just ridiculous. but a lot of it was from, you know, Brianne's guidance and placement.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Faith also had three goals today. But, you know, just across the board, we had seven different goal scorers, and we had nine different people show up and either, you know, having a goal or an assist. You know, we had two people, Addison Hodge and Grace Terranova, who didn't get any goals, but they assisted some goals. So,
mm-hmm.
And then we had a bunch of cause turnovers, a lot of charges. Again, just can't be more proud of the girls. You know, they bought into the game plan against a really solid Cardinal Spelman opponent that we want to give a lot of credit for and respect for. They had a really awesome season. They were well coached. We knew what they were going to do coming in, and we knew that they were dangerous, but our kids just played like a team, you know, and they really showed that today. And I think the stat book does kind of reflect that a little bit to a certain extent. So we're so proud of them. And, yeah, we're moving on to the Sweet 16, which is awesome.
Yeah, and one thing about the brackets, when 16 plays 17, yeah, you're very close together in terms of talent competition and how you perform. So that's a great win for you guys. Congratulations, Matt, and I really appreciate your getting back to me. And I hope we can talk to you again in the future. And best of luck to you and the kids against Newburyport.
Yeah, thank you so much. We really appreciate any kind of coverage that we can get. So it means a lot. Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Well, you're building a great tradition there at North Reading, so good luck with that. We'll talk to you later, Matt. Take care.
All right. Have a great night.
Thank you. You as well. All right. That's Matt Costello, who is the North Reading girls lacrosse coach. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore.